Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right. I know that you guys maybe want a little bit more Royals conversation. And I promise you that we will have a lot of Royals conversations. I don't have a lot of the White Sox or bad takes today. I just let Denny Matthews do all the work for me because Denny Matthews in these 90 seconds explained to you how bad the Chicago White Sox are in a way that I don't have the ability to do.
Lead at first, in comes the pitch, jammed him in a high pop-up on the infield, and it's off the glove of the second baseman. They're going to throw the ball to second wildly. They had a forced play there. And here you go. The White Sox are on the verge of burping up this game. It's the old story, folks. He squares to body, gets it down. How are they going to mess this one up? No throw. Boozer picked it up, had no play. And the bases are loaded. And the White Sox are on the verge of handing the Royals the game. So I started to say, it's a familiar refrain, same old story. Good teams figure out a way to win in the late innings. Bad teams figure out a way to lose in the late innings. And boy, if we haven't seen a perfect example of that right here in front of us in the last 5 minutes, then you need another videotape because this is just a perfect example. Jake, you said it off air. You said that might be the worst ninth inning of any major league game I have ever seen, and I've seen a few, and it would probably make my top five. That was,
it's up there.
It was embarrassing.
I'm here to tell you guys that later today on 96.5 The Fan, you are going to hear the 2025 Royals play the 05 Royals. Coming up later today on the FanDuel Sports Network, you are going to see the 2025 Royals play the 05 Royals. So tune in. I will be tuned in. I imagine a lot of you are going to be tuned in. Some of you are going out to the ballpark today. I'm not going out to the ballpark today. Look outside. Today's not the day to go to the ballpark, at least for me. Might be for you. Will not be that way for me. But I will be out there this weekend. I plan on going out there. I want to see this team, and I also want to see them go up against the Red Sox, a pretty good team. Let's talk a little bit of Chiefs. And this is why I think that some of you will call me a hater. I have not put down my running back shield. If Rob won't pick it up on this show, I will be the one to pick it up. I will be the one, and I might be the lone voice telling you, man, I wish they had done a little bit more at running back this offseason. They have made two additions to the room. One of the additions is Elijah Mitchell, and I actually think that he is a pretty decent player. He has just never shown us an ability to stay healthy at any point in his career. So I'm just not really sure how much you can rely on him for. If he's healthy, then I think he can be pretty productive and adds a very unique element to this room. But again, I just don't know if he can stay healthy. So I don't really consider that to be a big move. all leading into the draft. I was saying, draft a running back, draft a running back. That's one of my biggest needs. They drafted a running back in the seventh round. Now, I imagine some of you are excited about this player and feel like they found great value. They find a diamond in the rough. Well, I got some numbers I want to tell you. And as you would expect, they're not good for players drafted in the seventh round. From 2020 up until now, and I didn't include the players yet because they haven't played in the league, there were 12 running backs who were drafted in the seventh round. There are a lot of names you haven't heard of before. I don't want to go through all of them. There have been one player that hit. The Chiefs found that player, Isaiah Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh-round pick a few years ago. In his career, he has had 2,075 yards. The other 11 running backs, if you add up their production, they have had 745 yards. Out of the 12 running backs that have been drafted, six of them have never gotten a carry in the league. And a bulk of this production comes from basically one other running back that's not Isaiah Pacheco. It's Eno Benjamin, who plays for the Arizona Cardinals. You probably heard of him. He's a fine change of pace back. Hasn't had a dynamic career, but he also was a seventh-round pick. Now, I might end up doing all of this for nothing. I might end up proven wrong, but I will still maintain that there was a bigger swing to take at the position that the Chiefs, they got a very, very low lottery ticket, and maybe it hits. They hit the last time they got a seventh-round pick. They hit him Isaiah Pacheco, but the percentages of it. And I also know that there is a belief that you can essentially find a running back in any round. You usually aren't finding them in the seventh round. Maybe you find them in the fourth or the fifth round. Yeah, those guys are available in the fourth or the fifth. They were available this year in the fourth or the fifth. And this year, somebody in your fantasy league is going to win because a running back was drafted in the fourth or fifth round, and that guy has exceeded everybody's expectation and turned out to be a very good player. I just wanted the Chiefs to get one of those players. I saw the Chiefs this year make improvements to so many different areas of their team. I'm not sure if they made one at running back. And last year, they had a bottom five running back room in the National Football League. At a bottom five running back room. And I just wanted them to spend a little bit more time, a little bit more care, and take a little bit bigger swing at the position. Because drafting a running back in the seventh round and the expectation that he's going to help you this year and that he's going to be a productive player, it's just not there in the stats. A team hit on Isaiah Pacheco. It's the same team, so they should get a lot of credit for that. Man, the other 11 just didn't hit, and you're not expecting a seventh-round running back to come in and be a valuable contributor to your offense. Nobody is anticipating on that. I thought there was a way to get a lasting answer at a position, and of all the things I think they missed this year, and I don't think they missed a whole lot. I think the list is actually pretty small of things that I think the Chiefs missed this year. They missed an opportunity to improve at a position where you didn't have to spend a whole lot to do it. And even with not having to spend a lot, they spent the bare minimum on trying to improve at running back.
What's interesting is, and I'm not trying to defend the Chiefs here, is that I think if you ask the Chiefs or you ask, you know, draft Knicks like Jay Binkley or Todd McShay, maybe not Mel Kiper. We can put him with the side for a minute. Mel Kiper had a bad draft day. If you ask those draft experts, they would tell you that this draft is unique because of how deep it was at running back. So it's possible that the regular run-of-the-mill seventh rounder, Eno Benjamin was one of the names you mentioned. It's possible Eno Benjamin, that player in this draft is a UDFA because what in this draft is a fifth rounder is in most drafts, you know, a third, or you get what I'm saying. That is the Chiefs' contention. The position group was so deep that it was depressed, which led to players who were fourth, fifth, sixth round talents being available in the seventh round. That is their belief. That is their hope. And people who want to see things through Chiefs colored glasses will tell you that's going to happen with Breshad Smith. They think that was the steal of the draft. I've seen, you know, Chiefs Hive and people like that talking in that nature. The stats don't indicate that has been the case, but it's possible that Brett Veach and co. do think that and are right. Because the other time they did it, the other time they popped up on that list, what did Brett Veach say about running back ahead of the Isaiah Pacheco draft? He said there's going to be a seventh round or undrafted running back in this class that will rush for 1,000 yards. Now, Isaiah Pacheco hadn't hit 1,000 yards yet, but they drafted Pacheco, and he's a 900-yard back. So we're going to give Brett Veach the credit for being right there. It's possible Brett Veach called his shot again, and he's 2-for-2 on seventh-round running backs because those two drafts were unique to the position.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, so if the Chiefs have a top-5 running back class, would they still have ended up in the Super Bowl? Fair point. My argument would then be they would have been 15th in points scored this past year for a team that we believe has the best quarterback in the National Football League and a team that we believe has the best coach in the National Football League. I will continue to maintain the numbers for Patrick Mahomes, despite us thinking that he is the best quarterback in the league, are noticeably down over the last 2 years. The answer is why. Some of you think that is Matt Nagy. I don't think all of that is Matt Nagy. I think a lot of it is the parts and pieces that they have put around him. Last year, this team was 15th in points scored. Their offense was average last year. The year that they won the Super Bowl before, their offense was 15th. They have been 15th in points scored the last 2 years, despite having who some of you think is the best quarterback in the history of the National Football League. I think one of the reasons why is the lack of attention that they've spent on their run game. I'm not saying that the Chiefs need to have a top five running back room. They don't need to have Philadelphia's run game or Baltimore's run game. But it still is confusing to me how a team saw that 1 year they had a pretty good running back. Their quarterback won MVP the first year that they gave a pretty good running back. They also spent a first-round pick on a running back. So at one point, they thought that running back was a really, really important position. And somehow, just over the last couple of years, they just haven't really done much with it. This offseason, I don't think you needed to spend a lot of money to improve at the position. They gave you a running back that is hurt all the time in Elijah Mitchell, and they spent literally the worst resource that you can in a draft in which their own general manager said it was the deepest position in the draft. He said it was the deepest position. You spent the smallest resource that you possibly can at trying to address the position. I just wanted them to do more. I guess you can't go back in time, and we will see as the season progresses. But last year, they had an injury in their running back room, and they couldn't manage it. You would have to expect that this year an injury is going to happen at some point in their running back room. Isaiah Pacheco has never played a full season of games. Kareem Hunt is 30 years old. Elijah Mitchell has always been injured. We are going to have this conversation again at some point during the season, and there was a time to address some of these things, and they just didn't do it. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the George Pickens trade. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get back to the Royals coming up in just a bit as they continue to pound away at the Chicago White Sox. But let's take a little bit of a detour and let's talk about the top story in the National Football League. George Pickens was on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is no longer on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has been traded to the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to head to Pittsburgh and then Dallas to get their perspective on the trade. Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by a friend of the show, Adam Crowley with 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Adam, how you doing today, my man?
Oh, what's up, Carrington? How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Adam, I feel like we knew that this day was coming basically the entire offseason. If you think about the last handful of games with George Pickens, it just didn't seem realistic to me that he and Pittsburgh were going to be able to move forward.
It's funny you say that because I felt the same exact way until after the draft, and then I kind of figured, all right, they're not going to move this guy. There's no time to find a replacement. You're trying to figure it out with Aaron Rodgers. But you know what? None of that really matters, Carrington. It just doesn't. They're not winning the Super Bowl this year. They haven't won a playoff game in more than half a decade. So why not just cut bait with George Pickens, get what you can for him, which I think was a pretty nice return. And you were never going to pay him, so you get the resources, and you can hopefully, in their mind and in my mind, because I'm tired of talking about the same crap all the time, get a quarterback next year that can help you contend for those things that you haven't contended for since the tail end of Ben Roethlisberger's career.
Adam, why do you think this took so long? Because I'm with you. They got a decent return, but it is something to get that return a couple of weeks ago when the draft actually happened to now have to wait until 2026 to be able to use that pick. Why do you think that Pittsburgh did this deal after the draft and not before?
Well, I don't want to give them too much credit, but the more I think about it, the more it makes sense to me that they would want the pick next year, the picks next year instead of this year. I mean, this team's got considerable holes, and they filled some of them in the draft, and I think they did a nice job of it. But you're not going anywhere unless you get a quarterback. This was a rotten quarterback draft. Shedeur Sanders was a guy I liked, but the league disagreed with me on that, and they had no interest in taking Shedeur Sanders. So instead of getting a draft pick this year, drafting a wide receiver that could conceivably be Pickens' replacement, now you've got three third-round picks next season. You've got multiple fourth-round picks, multiple fifth-round picks, multiple sixth-round picks, 12 picks in total, and you should be able to package a few of those and move up and get your quarterback in the future. So I think it was an intentional thing. Also, what I understand is that Jerry Jones wasn't offering anything but a fourth-round pick during the draft process, and he changed his mind as he gets desperate and probably swilling some, you know, whiskey on his yacht someplace, maybe get a little bit more out of him, and they did.
Right now, we're talking to Adam Crowley. We're getting the Pittsburgh perspective on the George Pickens trade that sent him to Dallas. If you were just looking at it on the computer screen, George Pickens has had a pretty strong start to his career. What went wrong in Pittsburgh, and what eventually led Pittsburgh to say, we can't do this anymore? Yes, you are a productive player, but it is in our best interest, it is in your best interest for you to move on.
Well, the Steelers do something very bad, and then they do something very good. And the very bad thing is they take wide receivers in the draft that might have checkered past or character concerns, however you'd want to characterize it. And the really good thing they do is they seem to know exactly when to move on from these guys. They moved off of Chase Claypool for a second-round pick. He fizzled out of the league. Same thing with Martavis Bryant. They took him for a fourth. He was a productive player. He fizzled out of the league. The list goes on. Deontay Johnson played for four different teams last year, kind of didn't play for a couple of those teams, actually. So they've moved off of those guys at exactly the right time. But this is a guy in George Pickens who had these concerns when they drafted him. It's why he wasn't a first-round draft pick. He was absolutely a first-round talent, and his talent is unquestionable. He's a very talented football player, but he's got some significant maturity issues. I'll be clear, I don't think George Pickens is a bad guy. Not by a long shot. He doesn't get along with the media. I don't generally hold that against guys. But he hasn't been, at times, the best teammate because he's got a short fuse. He's had some social media problems. He showed up late to the Chiefs game, as you well know, on Christmas Day. That's my baby in the background. She's very emotional about the George Pickens deal. And the list goes on. I mean, he's fighting with guys through the back of the end zone at the end of the Browns game on the Hail Mary, which was the final play of the game, which obviously can't happen. He's blaming the referees after losses. After the snow game against the Browns, he said the Browns weren't the issue today. The weather was. The Browns aren't a very good football team. And I'm not even scratching the surface on what has been reported on George Pickens. And I'm guessing we're going to find out some stuff that went on behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Oh, Adam, you and I both know that we're about to get some story from The Athletic or ESPN that's going to tell us about five things that went wrong with him in Pittsburgh.
That's right. And again, I think he's a good guy and a talented player. I think he's immature, but it was time to move on. And I'll tell you, I don't know what your Dallas guy is going to say. You look at the numbers, you look at the freak athleticism, you look at some of the combine numbers, and it makes all the sense in the world that Dallas would take a flyer on him. If they don't pay him, and I assume they won't, I think he's going to be a problem there, too, with Brian friggin' Schottenheimer. Good luck, dude.
I was just going to ask you that because there is the contract thing that kind of has a cloud over this. With what you know about George Pickens, is he a player that you would make a financial commitment to?
Absolutely not. And I hate wasted potential. Maybe I'm projecting there, but I hate it. I want anybody who's got talent to make good on their talent. And I wanted to shake the guy last year and say, dude, you are coming up on a contract year and you could be making $30 million a season. You just need to walk the straight and narrow until you can sign on the dotted line. But I think he runs so hot that even if he has the best intentions, there are going to be moments when it blows up. He's clearly not going to be the number one with CeeDee Lamb. And something else about Pickens, too, is he's gotten better with his route tree, but he's not a tremendous route runner. I know Dak throws some good back shoulder balls. He's not a high-volume target guy. And in fact, last year, 44% of the passes thrown his way were completed, which is obviously a very low number, and that's frustrating to him. I just don't think this is a guy that you can win consistently with because he cares too much about himself. And so, no, I don't. If I were Dallas and they got guys to pay and they've got guys they have paid, I don't think I'd be paying them long term.
I got two more questions here, Adam, and I'll let you get back to your parenting time. The first question is, what is it about Tomlin? What is it about the Steelers that just, like, they have a lot of strengths as an organization? This is just a weakness for them, whether it's Le'Veon Bell, whether it's Antonio Brown. I'm sure you have some other options, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens. Like, why is Pittsburgh attracted to this kind of player?
I think Mike Tomlin is a player's coach, and I think that can be a really good thing. And you'll have former players sing his praises, not just as a coach, but as a man. And I like that about Mike Tomlin. But I think when guys are talented, he will give them a little bit more rope and they will take advantage of the situation. And it has happened time and time again. And yes, they move on from guys at the right time. You'll hear it from the national media all the time. Mike Tomlin can handle it. No, he can't. You can only hold these guys down for so long and keep them in line for so long when you're drafting guys that even before they get to Pittsburgh, you know that they could be a problem. They have not done a good job of it. And I get it. Talent rules the day in the NFL. I think with this draft, they've started to turn to the, you know, cliche football lovers, blah, blah, blah. I think they should probably take a few years to try that and see how that works. Because if you're not seeing these guys through until the end of their rookie contracts, what's the point in taking them in the first place? And you look like fools because you keep doing it over and over and over again.
Adam, last thing here, week one, who's going to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Maybe me, Carrington, I think I would have as good a shot at winning games as Mason Rudolph. I think they think that it's still going to be Rodgers. I think they're comfortable, gag me, with Mason Rudolph. But if I had to put some money down on it, I would say Rodgers. Though I would guess from an on-the-field standpoint, he can't be all that thrilled with the number two wide receiver right now being Robert Woods, who they just paid $2 million. Maybe Roman Wilson, a third-round pick last year, who didn't play more than 9 snaps for the team last year. So I don't know that Rodgers will love this, but it's either come here or retire. I think he's going to come here.
That is Adam Crowley joining us on the show today with 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Adam, it sounds like you have a lot of bluey and number blocks in your future. So enjoy the rest of your day, my man.
Bluey is the GOAT. I appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely. That's Adam Crowley joining us on the show today. You got the Pittsburgh perspective on the trade. Let's get the Dallas perspective on the trade. They are the team that is acquiring George Pickens. Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by RJ Choppy, who covers the Cowboys. RJ, happy to have you pop on again, my man.
Carrington, how we doing, brother?
Doing fantastic, man. What is the reaction to this? This was something that happened, and it felt like it came together really early in the morning. I'm imagining this broke during you guys' show. You spent a lot of time talking about it. What is your reaction to this trade?
Well, you know, our co-host broke the news to us. I mean, he actually broke the story totally. About 11:30 last night is when he found out about it. That he first found out word that there was something that was going to happen. And lo and behold, here it is. We were excited about it from the standpoint of a football perspective. Like, you know, this, the off the field stuff or the on the field stuff where there's maybe a personality dispute between two players, can't control that. You know, it's about the talent. At least that's what the team's looking at. And that's what they're hoping for right now, because this is a talent void unit on the Cowboys. If they want to compete for a playoff spot, they needed to upgrade the number two wide receiver position. Right now it was Jonathan Mingo and Jalen Tolbert. That's not sustainable alongside CeeDee Lamb. So this was this is something that shows that had a lot of positive thoughts from the fan base for the most part today.
It's crazy because just looking at it, I like this as a football move for all the reasons you just gave. CeeDee Lamb's one of the best receivers in the league. You give him a viable number two. I look at that Cowboys team as a team that didn't have enough firepower last year. But then there is the locker room side of it, which is a major reason of why he got traded. How do you feel about bringing George Pickens to Dallas into that locker room?
It's a necessary risk. You know, you've got to be able to take risks in sports. You can't have 53 just Boy Scouts. You've got to have a good mix. That's what a good culture is. A good culture isn't just bringing 53 great dudes in. A good culture is being able to bring anybody in and be able to have that player, you know, mesh with the rest of the locker room and not be a problem. That's going to be put to the test. I mean, Dak Prescott's leadership abilities are going to be put to the test. He's known as a really good leader, a really good leader of men. We'll see. Brian Schottenheimer, that's kind of what he sold the Cowboys on when during the hiring process. Hey, I can lead men. All right, let's go. Let's see. It was a double-edged sword, all right? Either they didn't have the receivers or they do, but they got the problem, you know, if you want to call it a problem. So, like, which would you rather have? Would you rather have the talent or no talent and no chance and no hope but a good locker room?
Right now, we're talking to RJ Choppy, getting the Cowboys' perspective on the George Pickens trade. He is in the final year of his rookie contract. Is there a plan to pay George Pickens for the Cowboys?
No, not right now. The plan right now is to let him play it out, as the Cowboys love to do. They love to wait to the very final hour, so they're going to let him play it out. And I think he wants to play it out, too, because the problem they're going to run into is he is going to want to be paid like a one. And they're going to want to pay him like a two. And I think that's the problem that they're going to run into. What I suspect happens, he plays it out, they tag him. That's the one case scenario. They probably just tag him, and then they see what happens from there. But no, I do not suspect they pay him early, because they make everybody wait. And how would that look at the rest of the locker room if you make everybody wait? Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, all these guys. And then you up a trade for a guy and you pay him right away. That wouldn't look very good.
Why is that the Cowboys' strategy when it comes to paying players? It's one thing with George Pickens, right? He's an outsider. He's had some issues in the locker room. I get not running to give him top dollar. But Micah Parsons is one of the five best defensive players in the league. Dak Prescott was probably, one of the top 12 quarterbacks in the league. Why are the Cowboys a team to normally delay this when delaying it usually ends up being more expensive in the long run?
They philosophically, Jerry, this is old school businessman Jerry, philosophically, he just believes that I don't have to pay you. I'll pay you when I'm ready to pay you. And if that costs him more money, they don't even view it as costing more money because they say the salary cap's always going up. So it doesn't really matter. And if I have to pay you $5 million extra, you know, what kind of impact player can I get for $5 million? I guess I understand that. You know, I don't know. Is it just a simple business tactic that Jerry utilized back in the day that he still employs here? I think it is. I really do. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't have a finance degree. I'm not an economics guy. I have no idea. I can barely use Microsoft Excel. But I do know that that's their plan. That's their philosophy, and they've stuck to it.
Right now, we're talking to RJ Choppy here for a couple more minutes. I've got one, I guess, Micah Parsons question, then a Dak Prescott question. I'll get you out of here. From a financial perspective, are you expecting this thing to get wrapped up with Micah Parsons at some point between now and the start of the season? I imagine it's going to cost a lot.
It's going to cost a lot. It's going to cost over $40 million. I would suspect it does. Now, defined before the start of the season. Do I expect him in Oxnard, California on, July 28th or 7th or whatever? I suspect not. I think he'll be there at the offseason offseason workouts, but I don't think he'll be there to start the camp. Just like Zach Martin the year before, just like CeeDee Lamb last year. Dak was there, but he was a quarterback. It's different for him. They play by different rules. But I don't think Micah steps on the field for this team in a full football capacity until then, and I suspect it gets done before the first week, but not before training camp, probably the second or third week of August.
Last thing here, how are you feeling about Dak Prescott? He missed a decent part of last season with an injury. He had a really good 2023, just wasn't healthy last year. I mean, he's getting older. The contract is getting more expensive. You're trying to get him more weapons. You guys have always seemed to have that love-hate relationship with the Cowboys quarterback. How are you feeling heading into the season about where Dak is?
It's about health for him, man. Like, can he run? Can he run right now? Like, there's people that are wondering, like, if the season started today, would he be able to play? He says yes. He says yes. Now, he says he could play and suit up in a game. Does that mean he can suit up in 17, back-to-back-to-back-to-back, you know? I think the answer is a resounding no right now. But, you know, look, when Dak is healthy, he's generally been a 10-win quarterback. So, yeah, I feel fine about Dak. Is he a over-the-top quarterback? No, he's not. Things need to break right for him. But there's a lot of guys around the league that are like that. It's not necessarily. But there's only one Patrick Mahomes. There's only one Josh Allen. You know, and he's not one of those guys. But when he's healthy, if he can stay healthy, that's a big if. I mean, this guy's been hurt basically every year for the last 5 years. If he can stay healthy, he is still a viable quarterback, someone who's around the top 10.
That is RJ Choppy joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for the Dallas Cowboys, a 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas. RJ, great stuff, man. I appreciate you as always.
Thanks, Carrington. No problem, man.
Absolutely. That is RJ Choppy joining us on the show today. I wanted to talk about the top story in the National Football League, which is George Pickens being traded to the Dallas Cowboys. I understand this move from both perspectives. I understand if you're Pittsburgh. This is now at the point where if you've made the decision that you're not going to pay him, his attitude is not going to lend to him being on the team. You've seen how these issues have just popped up with George Pickens. I think George Pickens quit on the Steelers at the end of the season. Like, I don't know how you can look at his production and how he is as a player and really come to any other conclusion than he quit on them last year. I mean, in a pretty important game for them. I mean, two pretty important games. They're trying to make the postseason. He showed up late to the Christmas Day game. He had 0 yards in the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. They lost that game 19-17. This is one of your key important players for you, and you were just not on the same page. I think his fate was determined at the end of the season how they were going to play this thing. So I get it from the Pittsburgh perspective. I get why you want to move on. We're not going to pay you. We don't like the antics. We don't like the behind-the-scenes stuff. I do think we find out a little bit more about behind-the-scenes about what happened. I get why Pittsburgh wanted to move on. And, I mean, for a player that you spent a second-round pick on, you got a third-round pick back and did a pick swap. You got decent return on a player. I wouldn't say decent return on what he's turned out to be. You got decent return on what you spent initially for the player. And if you're Dallas, you just don't have a lot offensively. Like, this is a move that if you're the Cowboys, I think you had to do. We've seen the kind of teams that Dak Prescott has some success with. And it's a team that, A, is pretty balanced and can run the football. You went out and spent a couple of draft picks. You got Jaden Blue. You got Javonte Williams in free agency. So we'll see how the Cowboys can run the ball. And you had one decent receiver. Now, he's really good in CeeDee Lamb, but you didn't really have a whole lot else if you were the Dallas Cowboys. I understand why they made this move. I think this is a move that both sides had to make, and it's a top story in the National Football League. A little surprised that this move didn't happen before the draft, but eventually it happened. George Pickens is off the team. He is now in Dallas, and we'll see what the Cowboys do this year, which will probably be narrowly miss winning the NFC East and then losing in the first round to, I don't know, the Lions or something like that. That is usually the kind of stuff that they do. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Oh, I want to get back to talking about the Royals. And there was a text that stood out to me during our interview that I wanted to say for a moment like this. CDOT, you need to stop fronting. The Chiefs got lucky last night. All of us know it. All right. I don't think I've actually made a relationship analogy today, so I feel like this is a really good place to do it. Now, every man listening can identify with this. You have had a chance with whoever. You ruined it by saying or doing something stupid. You were right there. She was ready to give you her number. She was ready to agree to a second date. She was ready to take things to the next level. And then you did or said something really, really stupid. You also have been in a situation where you really didn't do anything that special. I mean, you didn't really plan this date super hard. You just, hey, let's go here. Let's grab something to drink. You know what? You didn't do anything stupid. And you know what? Things worked out in your favor. For the first time in a while, the Royals, they are not the one that says or does the stupid thing that stops them from getting to the ultimate. They let the other people do it. That's what the Chiefs do. We watched those Chiefs games last year. They didn't outplay all 15 opponents that they beat last year. You know what the Chiefs are really good at? We're not going to say anything stupid. Nope. We're not going to say or do anything stupid. We're going to let you do and say something really stupid. We think eventually you will. You're the Raiders. You're probably going to have some weird fumble at the end of the game, and that's why you're going to lose. You're the Chargers. You're probably going to miss an assignment or miss a kick or miss a block. We don't do those things. Yesterday, what you saw is how the Royals have lost. Dozens and dozens of times in our life, it finally came back to them. They're not the team anymore that makes those mistakes at the end of the game. If you've been cheering for the Royals for long enough, the Royals have lost like that at least 10 times. We laugh and joke about it. One time, their right fielder hit their first baseman just in the back. They have done some wild things. Rob, what year was it when they tried to do the pitcher first base? He clotheslined him. Remember that year? The Royals have done some incredible things to lose baseball games. They're the guy that had a chance. They were about to win. They're up 3-2 in the ninth inning. All you got to do is not say something stupid. You tell her a knock-knock joke. She's done. You turned her off just like that. The Royals are finally in a position where they don't do the dumb stuff anymore. They're not perfect. They're not going to win every baseball game. They're not embarrassing anymore. So yes, I agree with you in a lot of ways. The Royals got lucky. Yes, the Royals did not do anything to win yesterday. I agree with you. They didn't do anything to lose, and they let the White Sox lose. Great. I'm happy with that. They didn't go out there and beat them 7-1. No. You let the White Sox be the White Sox. You keep being the Royals. There's a reason why the Royals are going to win like 87 games. There's a reason why the White Sox are going to win like 58 games. You saw it yesterday.
I forget the exact saying, or I'm going to butcher it. But there's a saying in, when the other team is doing everything it can to lose, don't stop them. That is what happened last night. The Royals, you're right. The texter is correct. The Royals didn't go out there and play a great, perfect game of baseball. They were flawed. They probably should have scored only 2 runs. That's not enough to win baseball games. But then the White Sox start doing stuff that makes you lose baseball games. And the Royals were not going to stop them from doing that. And by the way, everyone's talking about the pop-up the second baseman got domed by. The next play, bunt. No play at the first. Then, after the pop out to Isbell, Jonathan India hits a game-losing double play, tailor-made. They kick the ball again. Then Bobby Witt pounds the ball, and it didn't matter. It was going to be deep enough for a sack fly. Center fielder didn't even catch that ball. So, yes, it wasn't a true traditional man. The Royals went out and won that game. But the Royals were smart enough to see, like, hey, this team wants to lose. We're going to let them find a way to lose it. It happens all the time in sports. You want to know one of the reasons why the Allen Fieldhouse effect happens? Is because in those tight moments, the opponent usually isn't as good as Kansas, and they find a way to lose, and Kansas just lets them. Hey, if you're going to throw the ball out of bounds, if you're going to take a bad three, if you're not going to defend, if you're going to do these things, we'll take the game from you. If you don't want it, cool. when the Chiefs do this, we call it good teams find a way to win. I don't have to go out of our way to run down the Royals. They were a good team that found a way to win because the bad team does what the bad team does. They found a way to lose.
I mean, yesterday was like watching someone who just couldn't stop themselves. They just couldn't stop themselves. I mean, it was mistake after mistake, and it just started to snowball. That's what happened. It started to snowball. It was like those movies, those everything can go wrong comedies. I usually don't like those kind of movies, but I love Meet the Parents. Meet the Parents is a everything that can go wrong comedy. From basically the moment that we meet Greg until the end of the movie, everything. Hey, he builds this nice little altar for him. He gets lit on fire. Oh, they play volleyball with each other. Oh, he spiked the ball in his sister-in-law's face. That's what the White Sox did yesterday. At every single turn. That's why the White Sox are the worst team in baseball. And that's why the Royals got a shot to make the playoffs finally. I mean, like, just finally, like, they're a consistent team that, yeah. That's what happened yesterday. I'm just watching the video of it. It was, I'm telling you, how did this happen? You're right. This is a routine pop-up that is hit in the infield. You're a Major League Baseball player. You can go to some 11U game and you'll see that that's a routine play for them. How did this ball hit you in the head on a routine pop-up? It is not like the Royals did anything magical in the ninth inning. We've seen the Royals have some magical, oh man, hit a ball in the gap. And no, this was just, the White Sox were bad. I mean, they were real bad yesterday, and the Royals, they were the benefactor of it. The Royals wouldn't have beat a lot of teams in baseball yesterday. They would have lost maybe to every team in baseball. They were playing the one team they could beat.
The Rockies would have done that.
Okay, good fit. Good point. I can't argue that.
The two teams that are the 05 Royals, yeah, the 05-06 Royals, which play in the AL Central and the NL West, they both would have lost that game because that's what the Rockies and the White Sox do.
You're right, man. No, I can't argue that with you. I'm sorry.
I really hope the Sox play the Rockies this year. Put that on ESPN every night. I just want to see it for the pure comedy of it.
No, that's I won't argue with you. No question. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to talking a little bit of football. Let's talk about Colin Cowherd, who is on some kind of crusade to not pick the Chiefs. It's very odd to me. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.